Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Limits. That was fun. That was a lot of fun talking about a legendary goal by Matt DiMarsica. Did he go to North Allegheny for what, a couple of years, Bob? And then he went off like so many hockey players
go to other places. But this is, you know, this Pens Elites program has been very good, and they still have more coming in from that program. So that has been something that has catapulted a lot of young guys who may not be, you know, the best at what they do in terms of top prospects in the country, but they're very good, and they have an opportunity to take it and move it and get opportunities like he has at Penn State.
Did I mention how happy I am, Bob, that the Warriors won last night and Steph Curry had, 52 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals, and a block. One of the greatest performances I've ever seen.
12 three-pointers.
Yes.
12. Nobody has made more than 12 in a game except one person, Klay Thompson. That's who he's trying to get to.
He was trying to get to 14.
But how about Jokic last night? 61 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists.
I don't know. I've been watching basketball. And by the way, I have a new James Worthy framed poster behind me from the General that's going home with me today. I've been watching basketball obsessively for 50 plus years. And I don't know that I've ever seen individual performances like that back to back on TV. I watched the first one on the NBA app. The second one on TV, it was just phenomenal. But we digress. Back to the six-pack limits. Please crack one in honor of our old friend Ron Cook. Bob, big news yesterday. David Bednar demoted to AAA. I didn't see that one coming, even though I think it's a good move. I mean, I see a lot of people saying, yeah, that had to happen. Maybe, but I don't remember hearing it as a topic anywhere that it's time to demote David Bednar. But it's a good move, I'll say that, but I was shocked.
For his own sake, I think he needs to figure it out.
I was shocked.
Yeah, normally that would be something that they would not do, or if they did it, it would take a long time. This is only 3 games. But, however, if you can look at the big grand scheme of things, this dates back to last year in 2024 and into even this exhibition season, the Grapefruit League. All of these numbers that we're seeing have been consistently bad. Dating back to his last 25.
So why did he open as the closer?
Well, that's a better question.
Shelty told the world that I don't have a closer. He's not the closer. Yet when the season comes around, he goes to him twice in a row.
You know, I guess just belief that he had figured it out, but he hasn't. He needs to figure it out. Although I don't know how many safe situations he's going to be in the way they're going.
Hopefully he gets things together.
His velocity still strikes me as good.
What a fall from grace. Yeah. I mean, it's a disaster.
Yeah,
a disaster.
It's not just that, but they're overtaxing the bullpen again last night. Thomas Harrington was supposed to come up a spot start even 5 games into this, whatever it is. And, you know, they were hoping he can go a little longer, and he didn't. And, again, they used the entire bullpen. So today they're in action at 110, And it's Skeens. And, you know, Skeens should take this at least into the seventh inning. And if he's still going well, I'd just ride him as long as I could.
You just mentioned something. Another one, please, limits, as we're now guzzling these things because the Pirates have come up. Derek Shelton. I wrote about this in the Post-Gazette today, Bob. They're off to a 1-5 start. Man, he better hope that Skeens pitches well, although Skeens has a good matchup today. And he better hope that Mitch Keller has a really good start against the New York Torpedo Bats on Friday when they come to town. But even if they do, they could lose. What if this turns to 2-8? What if it turns to 5-14 or 8-20? Would Bob Nutting make a move at manager, and should he at that point? That's two questions. Would he and should he?
Would he? Likely not. Should he? Likely yes. But my caveat to that is whoever they hire next is going to do exactly what all these other managers have done. Clint Hurdle was the one exception that he got this team to a level, but he had a big resume behind him. You know, if you're going to bring in someone who can be a controllable manager, then chances are you're not going to see much difference. It also starts with Bob Nutting. Above everything else here,
for sure,
it starts with him. He is the owner. He has to set the standard. We saw out in San Diego today that they decided to do something that a lot of teams have endorsed, which is signing a guy who is right there with
Jackson Merrill
as a rookie of the year. He finished second to Skeens.
Yeah.
He got a huge contract. I'm not saying that necessarily has to happen right now. At some point it needs to happen if they intend to keep him beyond his arbitration years. But my point is, if it's the same sort of person you're looking for, then I wouldn't expect much change. So it goes above manager or GM for me.
To me, separate topics. Does it matter who the manager is? Probably not. Probably not. But should he be fired based on his record if this just gets worse? Absolutely. Should Ben Cherington go with him? Absolutely. But we all know how it works. The manager almost always goes first. Shelty is in his sixth year, Bob. He's in his sixth year, and among managers who have ever managed this long, he has the fourth worst winning percentage in the history of baseball. 413. Okay, there's three other guys who are worse who made it as far as six seasons. All the other ones with worse winning percentages were obviously fired before that. Bob Smizek pointed out the other day that eight managers were hired in 2020. The one who lost the most, Shelty, is the only one still with his team. Can you believe that, Bob? Now, listen, it would be unusual for any team to fire a manager in April or even May, but it's happened. Milwaukee moved on from Ron Renicki after a 7-18 start in 15. The Reds fired Brian Price, 3-15 in 2018. Poor little Phil Garner lasted only six games into the Tigers' 2002 season. You mentioned Hurdle. He got the job in Colorado after they fired Bud Black in 2001 when he started 6-16. And Hurdle himself, 8 years later, after getting that franchise to a World Series, was fired after an 8-18 start. I almost think if this thing starts out 1-9, or 4-17, or 8-21, you have to do it. You have to do it. Do you agree or not?
Yes, I do. But I also think it's, again, my thought there is, who will they replace him with? And will it make a difference overall? You can keep going through this if you want.
I don't know. Would somebody else enforce discipline?
Preference.
Would somebody else, when we see these basic fundamental plays mangled all the time that players learn in Little League,
is it the manager's fault then?
No.
You learn them in Little
League?
No,
but you know what is the manager's fault?
Accountability.
When there's no repercussions.
Right. I understand that.
So would somebody else walk in here and bench somebody right away?
Okay.
And get in somebody's face right away?
Sure, you can
maybe
do that.
Would it make a
Who's
difference?
Who's going to play for them?
I don't care if it makes a difference. I want somebody who would do that. I want somebody who would take their best hitter so far, Kiner Falefa, and not keep him locked in the nine hole and maybe lead him off.
Well, there
instead
lies.
Of leading off Jack Sewinski, who has an on-base
problem.
Percentage smaller than their new first baseman and strikes out all the time. Other than that, he's the ideal leadoff hitter,
this
Bob.
This is what I don't like about Shelton with this constant changing of the lineup. There is no consistency to any of it. And yes, you're absolutely right. Accountability is big, especially for a team that has no real superstars. Superstar treatment comes and goes. If you have somebody who does that, that's a delicate topic for a lot of managers slash coaches.
Yeah.
In this case, it should not be a topic at all. There's nobody on this team that is above any of that. So, yes, that should be done. But my point to you is, if they make a change, do you honestly think it's going to be to someone who can, you know, not to stand up to the ownership and say, no, we're doing it this way. This is my general manager has to spend more than $80 million a year. You're handcuffing us.
No, I don't think it'll overall make a big difference because of the owner and the GM. Separate topic, it should absolutely happen. And if all the new guy does is come in and make sensible lineups and manage the bullpen better and get in somebody's face when they keep throwing to home plate when they should be throwing to second or make stupid plays on the base paths, that might be enough for me. It doesn't work.
Fine.
It doesn't work
it
for
be,
me
it would be
to
earned.
say the reason to keep Shelton is because nobody else would do that much better.
I didn't say that. I said that if you're going to do it, you should do it with an upgrade, a massive upgrade, as the reason. I'm not, you know, absolutely looking at this saying they're doing a terrible job on all levels. On scouting, they brought in two new hitting coaches.
Yeah.
What has that done? They're batting 160
I know.
As a team.
Believe me, I'm with you
again,
there, but those are all separate topics.
I understand that, but it's under one big umbrella, and that umbrella has the name Bob Nutting on
and
it.
And he's not going anywhere. So does the manager belong here with,
well,
with
the
job that he's
manager?
Doing? The general manager
once,
should go with him.
He said earlier this year that he thinks this is the best roster that he's had in
the
6 years. In 6 years,
yes,
this is the best roster?
He's doing a terrible job, and he should go with Shelton if they get off to a disastrous start. But he won't. So it's always the manager first. And if that's going to be the way of it here, then he needs to go at some point if this gets worse or stays the same. You know, they go 1-5, 2-5, 3-5. What's their record then? 6-15? You know.
I don't know. I mean, I thought in the last two games there were plenty of reasons why. In fact, the first series as well. That he, you know, Derek Shelton is a lot like many managers. They don't like to air their grievances publicly. Sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you need to take a page out of Michael Therrien's book and make a statement that you know will be heard by everyone. You can say it in the locker room too, but when you put it out there in public, some players may not like it. You bring those players in and you're honest with them. Say,
yeah,
you're giving me no choice.
Right.
I want to see a better performance, and if I don't, I'm going to keep calling you out, and then you're not going to play.
Winning time, I'll give Shelty this. He walked into the beginning of a total rebuild, but you know what? After 4 years of grace, winning time started last year, and they imploded in August with him being at a central figure in the bullpen mismanagement, and now they're off to a 1-5 start. Since the day he signed his extension, which was after their fraudulent 14-7 start in April of 23, he's 31 games under 500. And by the way, it would help us and everybody out there who helped pay for the stadium, which includes me, you, and everybody else, if they told us how long the manager was extended. They outrageously haven't told us, the public, that. We deserve to know. We don't even know how long Derek Shelton is signed for. He's the only manager and coach in sports that I know of where we have no idea how long he's signed for, which is ridiculous, Bob. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think it all should be transparent. You know, we get these reports about what they're making or losing, or, you know, nobody knows for sure because they're not going to show you. And that may be something that's potentially off limits. Not many teams do show you. But the bottom line is that what you see. You have to judge everything by what you see. And what you see is a team that is not committed to doing what's necessary to take it to another level, and they have to do it.
I just can't believe some of these guys are here, let alone the slots they're put in.
I can't believe
Jack
who played first Sawinski
base last night. Sawinski is still here?
How many first basemen do they go through?
And I don't even know who the guy was at first base last night. He's like 5'7", and there was a play at first where it was Harrington. Remember the one where he almost fell? Where if you had a first baseman who was like 6 feet maybe, then he's out. Where did that guy come from? Next.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
My God, Bob. What did you make of Harrington's first start, and what do you think of him as a prospect?
I haven't lost my belief that he's going to be a good pitcher at some point. I just thought last night he was nervous. It showed. He's normally a control pitcher, and he was not in control. He was wild. And again, it's very difficult when you are pitching, and Paul Skenes may find this out today, when you don't get much run support. It makes it very difficult because you know you're going to be on very short margins here. You have to do the things you're supposed to do, but he was wild, and he's not normally wild. So I think he was a little amped up and nervous.
Well, I agree with that, and it's always, you know, it's an amazing feat to get where Harrington has gotten. And who knows how he'll turn out, but I will say this. I saw echoes of Quinn Priester, and it's just, man, it's really hard to make it as a major league pitcher when you're topping out at about 93. That requires you to be perfect. And I know he's a control guy. I do. And I hope for his sake, he can execute that way at the major league level. It's just really tough to make it when that's your game. Because as I think Joe Block was calling the game, there was a couple of balls that were a half inch off the plate, and Block said it. Like, a minor league hitter is going to swing at that. Major league hitters have eyes like, I don't know, yeah. Bob, what animals have great eyes? Do owls have good eyes or bad eyes?
I think they have good eyes, right?
Like an owl.
I mean, that's
so you,
right.
You better,
the difference up here is major.
It's a tough way to live, topping out at 93 limits in the major leagues. I'm not saying he won't make it. I hope he does. It's an awesome story that he got there. They did a great job covering it last night with the family. It's just a tough way to live at the major league level. Keith Law was on with the PM guys, and he sees a lower rotational starter in Harrington. Like I think he said a 3-4 or even a 5.
I think he said a 5, yeah. Yeah. And he said that he doesn't even have him in his top 100 prospects list, even though Pipeline has him at 78.
And that's your number 3 prospect, Bob.
Yeah, that's not – but I still think there's – I think when you watch him in the minors, whether or not he can translate this into the majors, when he's on his game, he's pretty good at – locating pitches, and he did not locate him last night.
It ain't the minors anymore.
I know.
If you're not getting tons of swings and misses at this level,
well,
it's a tough way. It's a tough way to survive.
Everyone in Tampa's rotation and bullpen, all they do is just fire heat.
And it was especially galling, I'll use that word, to see his performance juxtaposed with Shane Baugh's blowing people away, and of course him being part of maybe one of the worst 5 trades in the history of baseball, right?
Yes, I think it was certainly the worst trade in Pirates baseball, for sure.
Well, one thing about him throwing 93, 94, that's also where Bailey Falter lives, and he's made a decent renaissance out of himself since leaving Philadelphia and going to the Pirates. Like, I'm not going to – it was a bad start for Harrington. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat that. But first start, a lot of nerves.
I'll grant you that, Limits, but he's their number 3 prospect, and Bailey Falter is a guy who has a 4.6 career ERA. So if Bailey falters his ceiling, I don't feel great about that if I'm a Pirate fan.
No, I'm not saying that that's his ceiling, but I'm saying that there are guys like the Kyle Hendricks of the world that with really good control and being able to spot pitches can still make a decent career out of themselves.
I agree with that, but you better be damn near perfect if you're topping at 93. Those are few and far between, I would argue.
That we can agree on.
Next. All right, Bob, next up is Skenes today, and every Skenes start is an event, and I can't wait to see it. It's an oasis in whatever else happens with the Pirates. At least we get Skenes. I feel like every time he goes out, he has a chance to throw a no-hitter, and I think he's going to be better today than he was in his first start. You agree?
He should be, yes, but that's a pretty good hitting team we see in Tampa. They got some guys out there who can get it done, but so will he. So this is going to be a typical Skenes start, which is, to me, it's going to be very close. He's going up against a pretty good pitcher himself. And so I worry more about how the Pirates can manufacture anything offensively, because no matter how well he pitches, if they don't, then it's going to be a loss. They got to give him support, and it has to change. My goodness, their batting average with runners in scoring position is just atrocious.
I mean, the lineup is an abomination.
It'll be different today again.
That's not an opinion. That's just a fact. And maybe they can change that fact. But I look up and down and I think, Ben Cherington, what have you done? What have you done in year six? Your four leadoff hitters this year have been Tommy Pham, Ji-Won Bae, Adam Frazier, and Jack Sawinski?
And there'll be another one today, I bet.
Oh, my God. Next. Ovi needs four goals. Is it going to happen in Pittsburgh? I'm starting to get the feeling it is, Bob.
Yeah, I'm amazed at that guy. He missed 25 games this year with an injury you thought may have kept him out the whole year.
Yeah.
And he has 38 goals. The way he's going, the answer will be no. But down deep, I want it to happen here in Pittsburgh. I do. I want to see it. I want to watch him do it. I don't care that it's Alex Ovechkin and Washington and everything. I think people need to get beyond that and understand this is history. And I'm sure Sidney Crosby would welcome the challenge of trying to be on the ice when he's on the ice and shutting him down.
And making him wait
for another year to do
right.
it.
Well, there's that side of it where if you wait for another year, you have the whole offseason to talk about it, right?
Yes.
And build it up. But now we're on nightly watch. I mean, obviously, Ovi's
four
capable
goals,
of a four,
one game. Yeah.
Exactly, of a four-goal night. All right, Bob. Thank you for your participation in today's six-pack. The 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Let's go to the general. General Patton, Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry for Starkey's Card of the Week every Wednesday. Contests run through Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That's your chance to win. Man, I'm going with a Jokic-Curry combination today, Bob.
Now, why did you have to go first all the time? That was going to be mine.
I didn't go first. Usually I ask you.
No, you don't. You take it, and then I'm left, you know, I mean.
Now I feel selfish.
I was talking about them all last night. On the TV shows,
well, join
we do
me,
KDK
Bob.
TV
we can do it
KDK
together.
Plus.
I'm sorry.
No, but you took him. Okay, why don't you take
that
one and selfish. I'll take the other?
Now I feel horrible.
I'll take Jokic. You can take Curry. How about that? We'll split the difference.
I like Curry. Yeah.
How dare he, Bob? He does that every week.
No,
see,
he does.
Thank you.
You go back and you listen to last week.
I will.
Or maybe I do it every week.
You do it every week.
I'm sorry.
What do you think, Bob? Here's what I like. Okay.
What do you think, Bob? Play second fiddle.
Now in my head, I'm trying to come up with somebody else here on the fly.
Ready, fire, aim. Your next limit. So, who do you got?
I am going to go a little bit off the beaten path and say Alexander Ovechkin, who we were just talking about, which is not off the beaten path.
He's been out there before.
You know what,
he's getting closer.
You know what, Bob? I'll give you both of them. I'm going to take Shane Boz. How do you like that?
I'm sure the general has something on Shane Boz, but that wouldn't be my top choice.
Hello, General. How are you, and what do you have?
Gentlemen. Good morning. Thanks for having me. All good guesses buried in among Aaron Rodgers' torpedo bats.
Do you have a torpedo bat there? You might. If anyone does, you do.
Not yet. I'm hoping to have one by the weekend, though, and I hope I don't see too much of them this weekend. But among all those other stories, 1-5 wearing me out. Joker. We got to go with the Joker. 60-point triple-double.
Thank you very much, Jed. 60-point triple-double.
I'm glad Bob thought of it.
I did, but you. Did I not mention at the beginning of the show where he talking about Curry? I said, by the way, did you see that?
General, do you miss Ron?
I certainly do.
So do I
do
actually.
Not miss Ron, but he would not have guessed the Joker. I'll guarantee you that.
No,
he wouldn't have.
No, unless you thought it was a Batman movie, and
it's
might
a good
have
thing that
too.
Bob did guess the Joker. Thank you, General.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
You
All
too,
right,
sir.
Jeff.
What a man he is, huh, Bob?
Yeah, that place is amazing. That was the first time I was ever there, and I was just stunned with all the stuff he has.
I am so pumped. I just put it on X, this framed photo of James Worthy going in for a classic one-handed dunk, and I attached James Worthy to my post. Do you think he responds to this, Limits?
No, he might like it, but I don't know if he'll retweet.
Like is a response.
Then yes, I'm going to be optimistic and says he does.
So far he hasn't. I think it's a nice photo, Bob. Do you?
I think it's beautiful, yeah.
Can you name any of the three Celtics in the background?
I have to look at it. I can't see it.
Wrong. Quinn Buckner, Rick Carlisle, and Danny Ainge.
I would know two of those three.
No, actually, it's none of the above.
Okay.
Is that Quinn Buckner?
Rick Carlisle, the old coach of the Mavericks?
Yeah.
Greg Kite is in the background, number 50.
I don't remember him.
Greg Kite.